Hey everybody, welcome to The Wade Show featuring Knuckles spoiler cast and review. We're very excited to talk about this Paramount Plus exclusive, and we've got the whole crew. We've got Bob.
It's Wade time.
Chris Wolfhart.
It's movies.
And Dr. Agro.
Look, animating is expensive. Let's all be adults about this.
As always, I'm your host, Dan Video Games. We're here and excited to talk about the adventures of this 40-year-old man teaming up with a cartoon echidna to get back at his dad, I guess. But before we get into that, let's just go ahead and talk about the structure of this podcast. The people who are new to a Gigabooth Podcast Network spoiler cast and review, what we're going to do at the very beginning, each of us will get to say a couple sentences summarizing our thoughts on the show, and then make an instinctual sound, some sort of guttural feel sound about how we feel about it. Then we'll go into detail about various aspects of it, qualities of it, moments in time with it, musings, etc. And then at the end, we will give a synopsis review and a score, 1 out of 10 each, for maximum amount of points of 40 points. Let's go ahead and start our couple sentences, a guttural sound with Dr. Agro.
The Knuckles streaming show was a thing mandated to be made. But interestingly, instead of that meaning it's a filled-out template, it was a broad blank canvas with no intention upon which a bunch of random shit was heaped.
Bob Video Games?
The Knuckles show completely blew my mind. I was blown away. All expectations shattered. I didn't think they could make TV this bad. Oh.
Chris Wolfhart?
You know, I'd always hoped as Hollywood collapsed and these streaming services went to shit, they'd just give up and give, like, amateur YouTube guys money to make things. Turns out they didn't need to do that to get things of the same quality. Ugh.
The Wade Show featuring Knuckles somehow takes the worst aspects of the Sonic films, cranks them to 11, and combines them with a sports comedy film from the aughts. Oh my God!
Yeah, you know what? I have to say this now because it really did color my entire viewing of this. Adam Pally, actor who portrayed Wade Whipple.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You look way too much like Mike Stiklasa when you have half a beard for me to take you seriously at all.
That's really funny because I don't get that vibes. And as I'm remarking on how I don't get those vibes, Bob shoots me in the other rib.
Yeah, I immediately just, sometime in the last episode, I was like, this dude looks like Randy Pitchford.
Like, I put some screenshots in our spoiler channel of, like, different shots where I'm just like, he's Mike Stiklasa. Like, he looks so much like him to me. And honestly, other than Mike Stiklasa, my main thing was like, I know we use it as a metric for bad thing, quote unquote bad thing, a lot. This reminds me so fucking much of a Channel Awesome movie.
Okay, so I got very different vibes, and the funny thing is I spent about an episode and a half straight trying to find an example, because it's so much easier when you can point at an exact pre-existing thing and be like, you, it's like you. But the vibes I got was this somehow more so than either movie is condescending to you because it believes you're literally a child. And it had the energy of a cartoon, a really low quality cartoon that would have aired on Cartoon Network in like the bad era, that is really condescending to its audience for being young, and you're supposed to be really, really excited for the human character that's supposed to be an analog for you, despite being a 40-year-old man, to team up with the cartoon character that's actually cool to do the thing. And as I sit here, mulling for an episode and a half, almost two full episodes, over what it reminds me of. Bob shoots me with, what was it?
It's Johnny Test.
I've never watched Johnny Test, though, so I...
This is a bad episode of Johnny Test.
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
Is Johnny Test the one with the talking cartoon dog?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it's the one with the whip cracks.
Oh, yeah. Even I've seen enough to know. Yeah. Yeah, I don't... I haven't watched Johnny Test enough to know, but, you know, it seems incredibly likely that that is exactly it.
Like, episode two especially of this was just like, this is an episode, I swear, this is an episode of Johnny Test.
I get where you're coming from. My read was more like, this is a Nickelodeon live-action show.
Yes.
There it is. You hit it. That's yeah. Those are the two things that it's like.
Uh-huh.
But the reason I say Channel Awesome is, one, when the two villains walk out of the portal in the bowling alley, it just...
Uh-huh.
Like, it's like, run, Linkara! They're here for the Magic MacGuffin! Run!
Yeah.
And just the way so many punchlines in this are just an anticlimax.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was the most notable thing about those Channel Awesome movies to me. It's like, well, what's the easiest punchline that costs the least money and requires the
exactly.
least effort?
Exactly.
An anticlimax.
Yeah. Isn't it funny that we set up this whole thing and then it didn't really go anywhere? And then we talked about how it didn't go anywhere and we did this whole setup for way too long.
Again, first episode, or maybe it's the second. I forget when those two characters show up. I think it's the first. It's the first episode. The guy with the big punch gloves punches Knuckles and says the "you think I need your power" line, like from the movie.
Uh-huh.
And then the girl comes in the side and they have like a 30-second conversation about, no, we do need his power because we want to get it and sell it. You remember? Yeah, I remember. I was trying to say a cool thing. Blah, blah. And that goes on. And like, that's everything. That's the whole show.
And they, yeah. You know that they think that that's the grade A content because that's what they put in the trailer.
Yeah.
Like, I literally watched that scene and thought, why is the white balance so good on this?
Something really weird about this one. I canceled my Paramount Plus subscription immediately the second I stopped watching the show because it didn't stream correctly. It constantly buffered. It looked like total shit. And even despite all of these detrimental effects trying to distract me from how it looked, the live action actors look way less sharp than Knuckles. And it's
yes.
like, guys, what are you doing? Render Knuckles at a lower resolution. He's so much sharper than reality.
Until you put him in front of that terrible green screen for the gliding segment.
There was some really bizarre stuff in this show. I put this shot of Wade standing next to Knuckles in the bowling alley. It is a reaction shot to the villains showing up.
Mm-hmm.
That shot is not very long, but I actually think they cut a still image of Wade out and stuck it next to Knuckles in post because he doesn't blink, he doesn't breathe, he doesn't move at all for that entire cut.
It's a Nintendo video. They just
he is stone still, and it I caught it instantly because it looked so bizarre. Just the whole cut. Knuckles is talking and moving and he is frozen.
Yeah, no, it's true. That is literally what happened there. It's fucking bizarre. I have a few pictures. I guess I'll drop them. One second. Just a couple. Oh, yeah. What do you mean I can only upload 10 images at once? What do you
Oh my god.
But yeah, anyways, I'll point out the specific ones as we go as they are relevant. They're God, oh God, some of these are for the thumbnail. A lot of these are for the thumbnail, like the cool lightning cross shot of them screaming at each other. And I'm like, Vzh. Anyways, I put these images here, but even I'm going to ignore them.
Yeah,
just
right.
Ignoring them. I'm going back to my notes. We're not talking about that. Can we talk about how they had the radio, like a pop station announced that Wade Whipple had a bounty on his head just so they could motivate two filler episodes, of which Knuckles shows up for the first 3 minutes and the last 3 minutes, two in a row.
Well, yeah, they live in a cartoon world. Like, nothing even adds up with itself. Like, that doesn't make any sense in any world.
No,
like, who put the bounty on them?
Like, the two other movies don't even... Yeah. Build a world that this makes any fucking sense.
No.
And that's part of the core problem with the writing of this series is that you just paired up both of the idiots, so there's not like an adult in the room or anybody to play a straight man, and it's the dumb energy is so strong you start to worry if the series is an unreliable narration.
The entire thing.
That would make more sense than what it is.
Yeah, you get that scene at the Ice Cap Lounge. They named it after a zone. I clapped when they named it after the zone. They could have paid to play the song Hard Times, but they weren't brave enough. They're too busy playing 14 different top 10 hits from decades past to make you clap and point at the screen instead of writing any actual jokes or character moments. Anyways, when they leave, when the bad guys leave the Ice Cap Lounge after it's blown up, they're in the parking lot and the police, the sheriff car is there and their car's just gone. And I'm like, where'd your car go? Do you know where it is? Are you going to drive? And the next time we see them, they're in a different vehicle. I'm like, what is happening? What is the show?
That's another thing about this that makes me like, yeah, this is like a Nickelodeon live action show. Is it just has so much energy of 50-year-old TV writer writes what he thinks a child would theoretically like. He has never met one. Here's a song I like as the insert song. It's so weird. Like it's even more bizarre than the Mario movie to me, like the boomer rock.
Oh, yeah.
They keep dropping.
I'm glad you brought this up. I was going to point out, you know, Sonic fans, I've heard Sonic fans get really upset over people liking the Mario movie because the Mario movie's so safe. The Sonic movies are why the Mario movie did well. If the Sonic movies were like really, really great films, people would have been like, yeah, that Mario movie fucking sucked. What was with that? But instead, we're like, oh. The they played a popular song and you clapped was kept to a minimum compared to, well, at very least, the Knuckles show.
It's the opening even.
Oh, yeah. No, it's all over it.
It's constant. It feels like it's at least half of every episode is the alleged joke.
And the
them playing the song.
The weird part is this still has, and I think cranks it up even higher. You know, this is one of the aspects I'm talking about. It takes from the movies and cranks to 11. The weird, we're shoving brand names in your face. Like Facebook Marketplace gets name dropped countless times.
Yeah, that was wild.
Lay's potato chips is aimed perfectly at the camera. An important key location is TJ Maxx.
Mm-hmm. The Lay's potato chips are basically the center of that scene.
Yes.
Knuckles is talking about how good they are.
Yeah, in the earlier scene where he loves Doritos.
Right.
Spotify is an important aspect of a couple scenes in a row there. And ESPN is the final concluding like brand that's covering the bowling tournament.
It's ESPN, yeah, and the Ocho, which is like an ancient joke.
Well, yeah, it's a sports
comedy.
Is it
actually the Ocho?
From the aughts. Yeah,
yeah,
it was the Ocho.
It was great.
I did be like, yeah, this is like if Dodgeball was not a good movie.
Yeah, no, literally became Nightmare Twisted Monkey's Paw version of Dodgeball fused with fucking Knuckles.
God, can you imagine how good this show would be if the sidekick was just Vince Vaughn being a piece of shit?
Good.
Oh my God.
Man, that would have added chemistry,
right?
Speaking of which, can we talk about they announced this show? Aggro, you sounded like you want to make a point. I want to make a really quick one.
Go ahead.
It would have been so much better. The first time they announced the show, it's like, oh yeah, Wade Whipple's going to team up with Knuckles. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm curious how the fuck you wrote that. They didn't.
Yeah, that drove me insane. That was the one angle that this could have been interesting. And a literal ghost tells Knuckles to go meet up with him for no reason.
And then Knuckles knows exactly where he is and gets into his house. And then they make a joke of, how did you get into my house? And then he's like, it wasn't the window.
Movie.
Yeah, it's the worst version of a joke we literally made in a video in 2008.
Yes.
Anytime, by the way, listener, if you ever hear us compare a thing to something we've done, because we've now done it, like, we did it on Cursed Content for Adventures of Game Chasing and this, that is not like, oh, this is so good, obviously, because we wrote this joke. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're, all right, this is just a terrible execution of...
Right, it's like stuff we wrote 15 plus years ago and don't even want to show you. That's how confident we are in it.
Speaking of which, the musical episode of this is handled by one or two different writers from The Lonely Island.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not it's fucking... what?
No Andy Samberg.
No Sandy Amberg, Andy Samberg. It's just Jorma. And I think the other one was also involved. But that was the musical episode, which just made me go, wow, this is kind of like an Alan Wake 2 thing going on here. But it's not as funny because it's written by the fucking Alan. It's written by the Lonely Island guy. And then I started flashing back to Chip and Dale, which is yet again the Lonely Island's fault. And I started getting mad and I go, please, please, you're like this fucking sleep paralysis demon for me watching bad content.
I think I liked this more than that.
Definitely. Like the series starts and it's nothing. And then it keeps getting worse. And then you hit the Shabbat dinner scene, and I want to die because the sister is awful.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't know how a human wrote this dialogue, and it is a dark midnight of the soul. Gentlemen, I loved the last three episodes of this show.
If you're going to love any three episodes of the show, those are the ones to love.
Like he does the vision quest in the cage. The whole thing with the stretch hummer being pulled by the cage. He cartoon explodes out of it, and then they katana joust. I'm like, okay, whoever's writing this show has figured out what it is now, and they're fucking going for it.
If more episodes were like that, then that would have been good.
They shouldn't have had here's a fun game. Bob.
Yeah, what's up?
What is the primary antagonist of this show's name?
The champion.
Oh, close. He doesn't actually have one. It's the buyer.
God damn it. I was going to be like, ask Aggro.
I looked it up because I'm like, holy shit, there's no way that's that actor, right?
Yeah, that's fair. You would recognize him. I did not.
That character, the villain should have been the bounty hunter.
Mm-hmm.
That should have been the primary antagonist of this show. He's funny. The angle of him being a gigantic piece of shit that drives a stretch hummer is really good.
Well, that was the little girl's parents' stretch hummer.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
But he is a piece
of
shit.
It's not even as funny as that.
And he kept bringing up Facebook Marketplace.
They should have played him up more as a parody of Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Right.
And then at the end, he's canceled because he said the N-word too many times.
The buyer is a terrible, terrible villain for this.
Yeah, when you asked who the main villain was, I thought you were talking about Wade's dad. Because
right.
That's way more of a main villain.
That's what they wrote, because that was the sports aughts comedy script they had lying around wrote.
Right.
He showed up, and I'm like, oh my god, there's no way that's Cary Elwes. 2 seconds later, oh fuck, why is Cary Elwes in that suit? This series is now amazing.
Pistol Pete was the best part, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to think of a better part just because the rest of this is so dire. The Jewish dinner was truly what was this? Sabbat?
Yeah.
That all of that was terrible. It was funny. Someone made a joke. I think it was in Swirl Drop's stream because the Knuckles show came up. You know, Swirl Drop's like, I'm not going to pay blank dollars for blank. And I'm like, I paid $12 for the Knuckles show. And someone in chat's like, I'm just disappointed the show didn't end with Knuckles having a yarmulke. And people in chat are like, what the fuck? And I'm like, no, they're right. If you've seen it.
That seemed like the goal of the show.
It seemed like it was heading there.
Him connecting with Wade's mom was the most human part of this whole thing. And I was like, oh my god, this is because like when you watch Sonic 2, the movie, as Knuckles gets progressively dumber through it, you're like, what the fuck is this character supposed to be? And in this series, he finally actualizes into peak modern Knuckles. He becomes a himbo.
I mean, it's true.
It is true.
That's what happens when dude who's really into spiritualism gives that up and only has bodybuilding left.
I mostly just thought, man, Knuckles looks really rough when they're fighting the bounty hunters. Yeah, like, it started to dip into that recent Super Sentai series where one of them is all CG. So every single time, it starts to get that bad.
But it's pretty bad.
Oh my god.
Jesus.
I mean, I would like to say it's not that bad, but I don't know. The stream looks like shit.
Look, that Kamen Rider thing, or Sentai thing, looks worse than a PS2 model.
It's true.
I started to realize this watching Sonic 2. I don't think I like this version of Knuckles at all, which is baffling.
Yeah,
I like the actor
he's not really
a
character.
But he is so plain.
He's just Teen Titans cartoon Starfire, but they removed like 70% of the other 70% of the character.
Right.
Yeah, I was like, mm-hmm. I don't even see it any as that anymore because there's nothing there. It's literally just I am like, Noble Warrior, and that's it.
Yeah, and don't understand things.
Right,
because they're like, just doing the Guardians of the Galaxy thing. He's Drax or whatever, but like a terrible version.
Yeah,
I also feel that way where it's like, I like Idris Elba and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure. Knuckles is a great character. It was funny seeing that bounty hunter having the hat, and I'm like, yeah, Knuckles is getting that goddamn hat.
That was so good.
It's gonna happen. It has been decided by the heavens. Yeah, it's nuts that I saw people going, okay, guys, let's not exaggerate. It's not the Wade Show featuring Knuckle. Come on. And I'm like, two episodes in a row, he's in like 5 minutes. The entire rest of the episode's Wade. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I honestly, with how much people talk about that, I expected it to be a lot worse. I expected, like, when Knuckles was put in that cage, I'm like, we're not even going to see him again until episode 5.
Yeah, I was worried about that.
Yeah, I was worried about that. It's still pretty fucking bad, but I was literally there with you in that moment thinking that was going to happen.
I would honestly say it's not any worse than the movies.
The second movie's really fucking rotten with, and now we're at the wedding.
Yeah.
Even though one of my favorite scenes is at the wedding.
Guys, if you're bitching about there not being enough Knuckles and there being too many of the human characters, how did you even like the second movie?
Here's my secret. I didn't.
Right?
I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
But people who did.
Right, right, right.
Which there are, I have encountered.
It feels like it's so much, like everything in the show, though, is tinged on Wade. Like, Knuckles is doing basically nothing. He's just there for the ride.
He's there because he was told to be there. He has no character.
Right.
He has absolutely no character, so they can't hinge a plot about him. He has no connections to anybody. He doesn't really have a conflict. Like, it even starts with, you did some ambiguous thing with the Emerald in the last movie, so now you have no purpose, and you still don't have one at the end of this show. Thank goodness that the next one is about Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, like, this show would have been their chance to give him a character, let him do things, let him meet more people other than Wade's family.
Yeah, it is weird how they just, I don't know, I guess it's like, well, we don't want to write anything other than him being Worf. He's Worf.
Mm-hmm.
Worf has way more personality.
Worf does have way more personality, but that's in the perfect world, that's would have been what they went with, is Worf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. It's a real shame. I think, honestly, the playing pop music and pretending that's a scene that many times throughout this actually drove me nuts way more often than it did in the movie. Everyone talks about how awful the Olive Garden thing is in the first movie, and I'm like, that didn't even compare to this.
No.
We're on a car ride, and we're going to make a two-minute scene out of, this is a song. Knuckles is like, I like this song. Ooh, we dance. Oh, I punched the thing. And he's like, oh. And I'm like, I want to die. I'm questioning my life choices. Get me out of here.
Maybe I missed it. Is there any point where in any of those I'm Taha, I'm turning on the radios thing, there's one of the Knuckles songs from Sonic Adventure 2?
I don't think so.
Even once?
No, I don't know.
That would have been so fucking easy. You're so bad at this.
Oh, yeah, no. And there's no way it would have been hard to get the rights to fucking Pumpkin Hill.
Right. Every time it just has to be some big popular song
yeah.
from... 10 to 20 years ago. Yeah, 20 to 30 years ago.
I expect baffling needle drops from most movies now because James Gunn is a war criminal. But,
Blaming!
It made sense in that movie.
It drove me crazy. They introduced the concept that was literally from Guardians of the Galaxy of Wade having his mixtape, and they didn't even deliver on it. They just played the songs for no reason.
Uh-huh.
They wrote in the Guardians of the Galaxy thing literally, and they didn't even use it.
Yep. That's what we call criminally bad writing.
Yeah.
This movie is literally built of pieces of Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm.
The bad guy he's just Whiplash, except he has Vulture's job from the Sony Spider-Man movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's really funny because you're talking about Whiplash from, Iron Man 2, right?
Iron Man 2.
Okay,
yeah.
So I was literally talking to Bob about, like, what was it? I was saying the bounty hunter dude should just do the shitty dance that Sam Rockwood or whatever did in Iron Man 2. And I was like, that'd be fucking perfect. Or no, the Union Jack wearing father should have done that.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And yet, no, we instead get Whiplash. I don't know why.
Pistol Whipple. God damn it.
Oh, that's pretty good. I didn't even. Huh.
This movie did contain one of the better.
You keep saying movie. This is a streaming series. It's much longer. It's three hours.
Yeah. See, you know what, Paramount, if you're listening, I'll watch this again if you do a 90-minute movie cut.
Actually, you know what? I might too. But anyways, Agro, you were saying about this TV series.
This thing contains one of the better, we're going to blow through most of this sports tournament montages in recent memory.
I mean, it did have Push It to the Limit, which might have literally been the song of choice in an aughts comedy, sports comedy film for the same montage.
Yeah, I was so worn out. I was just groaning by then.
I thought there were some choice shots in that. I appreciated many moments in it. Yeah, that's probably one of my favorite things in the entire run. It's not high praise, in case anyone can't figure that out yet. But
I feel like I'm realizing something.
What's up?
If you're going to watch the Knuckles series, you should do it exactly the way I did it. Mm. You should watch 3 episodes and then go to bed and then wake up bright and early for a brand new day and a much better series from that point on.
That actually is how I watched it.
That's really funny, because we just sat and watched it in one long sequence, and I spent most of it horrified that Knuckles is never coming back from the gas station. He was never getting cigarettes. He's gone now.
It is fucking bizarre that Sonic had the element of, this guy is Sonic's dad, and Knuckles has the element of, this guy is Knuckles' son.
I don't think we've talked quite enough about how horrible his sister character is.
Oh, yeah.
She's written like she's 5 years old and she's like 40. It's bizarre.
That's another one of the big, like, oh, it's a Nickelodeon thing because they're all written like that.
Yeah. They're adults in a children's show. But there's no children's show going on around
them? Yeah. Yeah, these would be great characters in the version of this show where there's a 14-year-old hanging out with Knuckles, and the 14-year-old is learning how to be a warrior from Knuckles.
Audience, if you've seen the movie The Wizard, imagine the kid in The Wizard was a 40-year-old man, and that makes about as much sense.
Yeah, why is this like this?
Wade Whipple's just like, California! And then his fucking 13-year-old brother's like, aw, he wants to play Nintendo.
Like, did they just show a dart at the board? Like, okay, who's Knuckles teaming up with? It's gotta be someone who's already a character.
Right! That's the only way you land at, like, well, Wade Whipple.
Because I didn't remember who Wade was.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I thought going in that Wade Whipple was that sidekick to Robotnik, because people latched onto him.
You mean a character someone would remember and enjoy?
Right.
I did speak to multiple people, and I'm like, yeah, he's with the cop sidekick. Like, I don't know who that character is. I watched both movies in the past month.
Right?
Who is that character?
That's crazy.
He was on screen for 5 minutes. His character is Idiot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I described the scene where he's threatening the Robotnik sidekick with the butter knife in detail. And they're like, I don't remember that scene at all.
That's really funny. I envy them. I envy them deeply, because I remember Wade Whipple in both movies perhaps too well. It really paid off with this.
Yeah, now we're going to have to deal with the Wade Whipple extended universe in Sonic 3.
I don't think we will. I'm gonna be.
This is the best performing Paramount show ever. You bet their ass they're following it up.
Yeah, but Bob was saying in the third Sonic movie.
Yeah, I don't think
they're giving him any more screen
time.
Wade
Whipple, you're gonna get.
I would approve if, like, in the third Sonic movie, Wade and Knuckles just look at each other and do a nod, and that's it. They don't get to talk about it. That would annoy me.
I have a feeling that Knuckles is not going to be in that movie very much.
I'm gonna be honest. Given what they did with Knuckles, good. Also, something I voiced during the viewing of this that, you know, isn't really relevant because Sonic and Tails only show up for the first episode. And oh my God, that first episode is terrible. And yet I've heard people say it's the best episode. I don't get them.
Well, it has They're Sonic and Tails. Wrong.
It does have Sonic and Tails. If they had shown us Tails before the movie came out, we could have had the backlash in order to correct the fucking design because that poor lad's head is just wrong. As a huge Tails enthusiast, I can tell you that is the worst Tails. He looks like a Frankenstein doll Tails. What did you fucking do?
For some reason, it still bothers me that Sonic has the design elements where you clearly like his belly and his face have the different color.
Mm-hmm.
And that shouldn't be furry or should at least be a different kind of fur. But in these movies, it's just the same kind of fur, but a different color. And it looks wrong.
Do you have any opinions on colors of gloves that Sonic wears?
Doesn't bother me as much on his belly, but on his lips and mouth, it's like, that's not what an animal should look like.
Bob, do you have any opinions about sports tape?
No.
Hey, Sega. Sega, you said you wanted to remaster a bunch of Sonic games. I fucking dare you. I fucking dare you to bring us all three Sonic Boom games on a modern platform.
What a release, Jesus.
That would fucking rule. I'm like, I had to get it on two platforms to go with my two box sets of Sonic Boom the cartoon. God.
We need the third movie to careen headlong and years late into multiverse shit and for Sonic Boom Sonic to show up.
That would actually whip ass.
Yeah, it would.
That's probably better than any other option. Let's talk about it, though. The worst case scenario, we all agree, probably is Lost World is the tease at the end of this, right?
Oh, yeah, no.
I don't think anybody remembers. Yeah, but nobody remembers that game exists.
Yeah, but they need strong characters to attach to. And since that's a bunch of designed characters that looks like they would be in a Pixar or a DreamWorks movie, because some of them kind of were.
I don't think that's much of a risk.
Well, we're not talking about the risk. Is that not the
worst
case scenario?
That would be the
worst.
Yes, that would be the worst case scenario. Absolutely.
Bob, can you think of a worse one? Can anyone?
No, I can't. Like half of the concept of the Deadly Six being in a Hollywood production makes me want to harm myself.
Modern
yeah.
Hollywood versions of every Sad Am character.
I'd rather have that. Absolutely. I would rather have that times 1,000. Aggro, you have not encountered the Deadly Six. You don't know what the fuck they're about.
Fucking Chris is talking like this is Kill Bill. You have no fucking idea what they're capable of. And that's really on us, Bob, because we haven't done Sonic Month yet.
Yeah, it drove me crazy watching this and having our villain be Whiplash and me realizing that Sonic has no villain other than Robotnik, and that is a problem if you take a spinoff.
What if we gave him six more villains?
Yeah, he has lots of other villains, Bob. Yeah, you just never, just ever want
Deadly
to put them anything. And then you don't even have to go with the Deadly Six. There's Infinite from Forces.
He's not
I
real.
Don't even know how you would write Infinite to the movie.
I guess that,
you
know,
have him show up, get beaten up by Shadow, and cry so hard that Robotnik gives him superpowers.
It really, honestly, if these movies weren't so averse to doing cartoon characters, then we should have a movie where it's like, oh, what's the villain? It's the Crocodile and the rest of the Chaotix team.
Team Chaotix, yeah.
Yeah, like in a rival role.
Yeah, like maybe now that they've been so successful,
they're gonna get drunk on how successful they are and write Charmy in.
Yes!
And they're gonna be like, he's comic book accurate. We're like, no!
Why would they do that to me?
You know what? I'll take the Sinister Six or Deadly Six over the fucking Charmy that beat being comic book accurate. Anyway,
no, Dan, you're confused. He wasn't accurate to the games, and then they had to do that to make him more like Game Charmy.
Look, I'm just talking about the lore of how they got there in the comics.
Uh-huh.
I don't think we have to worry about that. See, the real... So, okay, there is one thing I think I would have more distaste... No, never mind. I would not have more distaste for that than Deadly Six. I convinced myself otherwise. But it would still be pretty bad if the teaser is like the Ken Penders akin to characters, like the Dark Legion with their robot parts show up. But that would still be better than the Deadly Assassin.
Yeah, that's weird. At first you're describing this, and I'm like, this motherfucker's insane. I'd much rather have the Deadly. And then I thought about it. I was like, well, actually, I don't know. Space Akin is fucking hilarious. And yeah, they kind of left the spot for that because the movie's like, oh yeah. And yeah. The Knuckles traveled everywhere across the universe. So I'm like, damn, he did that? But he couldn't find a home, Bob.
He was just looking for a home.
He was just looking for a home.
He should have tried Facebook Marketplace.
Or TJ Maxx. You excited for the TJ Maxx scene in the Sonic 3 movie?
Of course.
Good.
Shadow's going to get his cool shoes.
I meant to take a picture of it. Apparently, I didn't. I'll have to go back for it. We have lots of green screen scenes of them in Reno or whatever. On the street. And it looks real bad because it's just a fake CG street and they're green screen to stand on it. And Chris, I hope you're delighted. All I could think about was Ride to Hell Retribution. I'm like, this is where Wade Whipple's murder spree starts and ends abruptly, weirdly, and then we don't talk about it.
This is not a complaint specifically about this show, but rather all streaming shows, pretty much. Use TV lighting, you pieces of shit. I'm so fucking tired of seeing this sort of the movie lighting on scripts that are from an episode of iCarly. It makes me insane. Please.
I'm sorry, that's the future.
I can't deal with it. No, it looks like it does. It somehow looks worse because TV lighting requires lamps and work and like gaffers and people. So it looks so much more like you're watching a TV show or a movie than this, where it looks like, again, that it feeds that amateur YouTube video element of it. All that's missing is incorrect color balance.
Dan, how's the color balance on this? I can't actually tell that sort of thing.
It's good.
Okay. Yeah. See, that's the only thing. That's the only thing they have over this.
Yeah, no, it looks respectable most of the time. Then you get this scene with the dude with Hulk hands getting angry, lying face down, belly down on a fucking carpet and being like, I'm so mad. And I'm like, movie, show, what are we doing?
Yeah, that guy raises the Channel Awesome coefficient by himself by like 2
points. Yes, honestly, yes, that was a big part of it. And it's not their fault. It's just because Doug Walker had those people he hired for the failed show that was the black guy and the lady.
That is
so
true.
When the two villains step out with their power gloves,
right,
and it's a black guy and a lady, my brain just goes, run, Doug Walker. They want to stop you from getting the secret MacGuffin, the rare good cut of the Phantom Menace.
But here's the thing. I like the lady from Channel Awesome's acting more than this lady.
Right? Like, their acting was terrible.
These two might act too poorly for Channel Awesome. In fact, yeah. You know what, Bob? Good point. I think both those actors at Channel Awesome act better than these two people in the fucking Knuckles show.
Yeah, and they seem like wildly worse actors than everyone else in the Knuckles show.
Yes.
Like,
oh my God, yeah, if everyone was as bad as them.
Right, like, the sister character is a horrible character, but she plays it well.
Right, she's trying to be that exact inhuman character.
Right.
Yeah, these two, they just don't have lines that are human.
No. Right.
They spend a lot of time trying to make, with these two characters, I'm like, I don't care. I'm sorry.
They want to make them funny, and it just doesn't work ever.
Like, we have a dynamic. I'm sorry. There are three other villains in this show, and we do not have time for you.
Yeah, you're literally the worst part of the show. Get out of it.
I thought it was really funny where it's like, we couldn't get Tom, the main guy from the real Sonic movies, and we couldn't even
get Cyclops.
Yeah, Cyclops. We couldn't even get the guy who sold Olive Garden cards.
Yeah, the head of Gun or whatever.
Yeah, the head of Gun. Like, those two we could just were too expensive.
Tom's wife being angry and, frankly, acting terribly, too.
Uh-huh.
God, that opening's so bad.
It is.
Although,
it
does contain, like, that and the scene in the hotel later, it really scratched an itch I've had for years, a frustration growing up watching movies made for kids, especially ones where, like, kids are hanging out with magical creatures. Like, where they're being chased by goons who... Any random adult could have stopped physically. So I love how this show just has Knuckles beating the shit out of these people constantly.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh no, we need to get away from them. It's like, no, Wade, go sit in the corner while Knuckles kicks the crap out of these
right.
idiots.
I did enjoy that. I feel like it would be more sold if Wade was a child. Like, that would really elevate that angle of it. It's like, child, it's fine. And then he just like punches a hole through a guy.
Yeah, no, this entire thing would make infinitely more sense if it was a child. It seems like it was written for a child. I do not know why the main character is a 42-year-old man or whatever.
Because he was in the movie.
I'm hoping it's not some kind of like broad meta commentary on who these movies were made for.
I am constantly like grappling with myself. Like, is this brilliant? Is all these Sonic movies actually brilliant? And there's some bizarre metatextual thing like, this is what the Sonic movie would be like if it came out when the Genesis games were made. If it came out in 1992, this is exactly what it would be. Because the Sonic 2 also made me feel that, like maybe it's brilliant, actually. And I can't tell if it's like this deliberately or like this because the writers also wrote National Lampoon Dorm Days.
It's a mystery.
Episode 1, for all of the other terrible things, and it does have one of my favorite visual gags in this series, where Knuckles converts one of the rooms into a gladiatorial arena, and you've got the dog in the Viking helmet, and you know, like Knuckles gestures to the other side of the room and says, oh yeah, he's going to face his greatest foe, and they slowly open a door, and we're cutting to reaction shots, and I'm like, it's a vacuum. You're just going to show a vacuum. Can we get this fucking over with, please? And then it turns out Knuckles straight up kidnapped their mailman, gave him a bat full of nails, and stuffed him in a closet.
Yep.
Which might be the most psychotic thing that happens in this whole series.
It is.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It seems completely unaware that it's that level of psychotic.
Yeah, which was the best part. I also love later on when Wade's sitting in his squad car outside of the ski lodge, and we cut to a flashback that shows that instead of any kind of actual police officer training, he just watched Bad Boys 2. And I thought to myself, is this just a stupid throwaway joke? Or did somebody sneak in some really topical commentary into this weird kids movie?
Hey, remember in the first episode when Knuckles was like throwing all that shit and throwing the workers at shit? And then Sonido flash steps out of the fucking frame and so that way Tom's wife can have a conversation with the person he just accosted about he's totally a child.
Uh-huh.
What?
Yeah, that first episode made literally no sense.
Yeah.
God, if they had written a way for Wade to get introduced to Knuckles and them bond or anything instead of a ghost told you to do it.
Or he like found a random child in the woods after a 2-minute setup scene.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, it really fucked me up that the elder echidna was Doc Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck? Then the worst part was I went, what the fuck? Isn't he dead? No, every other Xehanort's dead.
He's real old, though. I'm surprised he's still working. Yeah. Oh, no, he's not as old as I thought. He's pretty old, but I thought he was in his 90s. He's only in his 80s.
I mean, he's older than Rutger Hauer. So when they replaced Rutger Hauer with him, I was like, dude, learn
nothing?
They're not
going to need him again. They're not going to need him again. I guess it's fine.
Yeah, when do Kingdom Hearts characters come back after being defeated? Saga's over, they promise.
Usually they don't pass through a giant glowing door that leads to the afterlife.
You would
that
never flash back.
That's a little unique.
Never. You would never
no
flash
one does
back
flashbacks in Kingdom Hearts. We definitely don't have entire scenes of Mickey being like, hello there, Xehanort.
They'll flash back to him being young. So it'll be Ben Diskin.
Okay, all right.
I think that's right. I think that's
they're fucking playing chess at the table, and then Mickey Mouse comes up and he's like, "How about 17 pieces of green?" And they're like, "That doesn't make any fucking sense. Get the fuck out of here, Mickey Mouse." Anyways, the Knuckles, sorry, the Wade Show featuring Knuckles. We need to wrap this.
Yeah,
we do.
Did anyone have any last anecdotes, criticisms, praises, or anything else to bring up before we get to our summary reviews?
I think, damning as it is to admit, that low-budget rock opera scene basically buoyed the rest of this production for me. I loved it.
That's understandable.
That was the best scene.
Yeah, it really showed off what you could do with just a moderate budget and not using CG.
Man, imagine a show that just did that.
Yeah.
Marvel.
They should have been brave and just had scenes where he was a puppet.
Yeah.
Where Knuckles was a puppet.
The puppet would look so much better than Knuckles.
God. Oh, my God. Remember when it was that dude in a costume and then it changed to the puppet?
Yes.
That was fucking hilarious.
Oh, was that in the middle of that scene?
Yes.
Okay. I remember that shot, and it's unmoored from everything else in my head.
Yeah, I made a very loud sound when that happened because it shocked me. It's a good cut joke. Well, I can see everyone got out everything they were thinking of. I guess it's time to do our summary reviews. Gentlemen, a few sentences getting out the most important details of what you think about it, followed by a score between 1 and 10. We're going to start with Dr. Agro.
Paramount Plus's Knuckles miniseries media event was a thing that was made not because anyone really wanted to make it, but because they had to, because it was on the order list. But in the midst of that, it seems like at least a few people got in to make some really cool shit that was actually interesting. It's not, like, good, but, you know, it's never offensive after the first three episodes. I don't know. On balance, it's fine. It's worth sitting through. I'll give it a 6.
Chris Wolfhard.
Yeah, I'm kind of where Agro is. Like, it was surreal. I don't think they should make more. It would sure make a lot more sense if Wade was a child. I'm going to give it a 5.
Bob.
Yeah, this is pretty rough. There was basically nothing good about it except for that a couple shots in that one episode with the rock opera thing. Everything else was just kind of cringe-inducing. Weird kids show with all adults. I really didn't like this. I'm going to give it a 3.
I legitimately questioned why the fuck we do this watching this show. I don't understand why it's so much worse than the movies, which I already didn't think were amazing. I don't understand why it's kiddier than Sonic Prime, a cartoon where they swashbuckle. There's like a dedicated roughhouse time every episode.
I did think multiple times, like, at least Sonic Prime is a lot closer to what I imagine a kid would want. I can't imagine any kid wanting this.
Yeah.
Who is this for is the order of the day.
And I also enjoyed Sonic Prime and Sonic Boom much more than this. I'm going to give this a 2. I really genuinely dislike this. Even the rock opera stuff I was kind of into, but then they had take the break in the middle and then they come back to sort of replay some of the jokes and then continue it. It's just,
everything is just badly directed in so many ways.
And so many jokes really are just, well, doing it would be expensive. Let's talk about the implication of us doing it, how funny that would be. And I'm like, hey, yo, asshole, that's not you delivering the joke. That doesn't count.
What if we play a cool pop song?
If you drive the Uber Eats car by my house, but do not give me the food, you do not deliver the food. Anyways, that gives it a total of 16 points, bringing our average to a 4 out of 10. I'm very excited to watch the third Sonic movie later this year.
God, I think. That close?
Yeah, it's December.
Yep. Okay.
It's a Christmas movie, I'm pretty sure.
Yep, December 20th.
Yep.
Great.
Very excited to watch that, and I hope you all look forward to us watching that. And, of course, getting more exposure to Sonic media during our upcoming Sonic month. Because, You know, we didn't get to rate this relative to Sonic X or Sonic Underground.
Not that we'll be rating those.
You hope.
You don't know that.
You don't know that.
It's me and Chris in the hallway, Ben Swolo.
It's times like these I wish Knuckles had a catchphrase I could say.
I think he had a catchphrase. This music is good. I like it.
Grapes.
Hey, remember the grapes? They finally had Knuckles eat grapes because it's his favorite food. Remember?
Yeah, and then somehow they put that in the show where every single episode is worse than an episode of Sonic Boom.
Wait, was the grapes thing? Is the grapes thing actually a Knuckles?
Oh yeah, yeah. No,
oh,
that's
God,
his favorite
he did
food.
Mention
yeah.
It. Uh-huh. Oh God, damn it!
What you didn't? Yeah, no, he's. That's his favorite food.
Oh, there! It's in the instruction manual to Sonic 3. That
yeah,
yeah.
You can do multiple scenes referencing that, but you can't have fucking Pumpkin Hill come on for one scene. Go fuck yourself.